Hey, Andre, do you know why we're here?
Because we love to answer questions from the Bible.
Sure, but why are we here on Earth? Why did God create people?
Oh, wow, that's a much bigger question. I'd love to hear an answer from the Bible.
Absolutely, and so would I. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Andre Hastic. Our lines are open, and Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. We're glad you've chosen to join us to hear questions sent in by viewers like yourself and get answers based on the Bible. If you have a question you'd like answered, you can go ahead and call in or text us at 833-BIBLE-HD or message us on Facebook or Instagram at Bible Help Desk Show.
Helping us find those answers from the Bible today are Pastor Andrea Jacobsons and Dr. Clinton Wallin. Pastor Andrea Jacobsons is one of the pastors at the 2,000-member Spencerville Church, where she loves sharing God's word with young people and preaching from the Old Testament. Dr. Clinton Wallin taught New Testament and Greek at seminaries in Russia and the Philippines. He is also a former pastor, but is currently an associate director of the Biblical Research Institute. Pastor Jacobsons and Dr. Wallin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Well, before we start, I'd like to share a verse from the book of Psalms. I always enjoy reading the book of Psalms because so many times the words of the psalmist echo my own thoughts and prayers. And that's especially true for this particular one. It's found in Psalms 25, 4 through 5, and it reads, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." You know, sometimes we get questions that don't have direct answers in the Bible. Or sometimes the Bible answers we provide aren't really enough. So we ultimately have to rely on God to show us His truth. If that's the prayer of your heart too, I'd like to join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this day of life you've given us, Lord. And as we dive into your word, I ask your spirit to be here. And as we seek questions and seek answers for these questions, Lord, may you guide us and we seek your will. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, last week in our What's Your Take segment, we asked all of you a question that came in via text. And it asked, what was God's purpose in creating humanity? I think it gave a lot of you some food for thought.
Some of you are wrestling with the answer. If God make man to worship him, does that make him selfish? The answers everyone sent pretty much fell into three categories. One, to take care of the planet as his stewards. Or two, to glorify him or to show or live out the kind of love God has for God and his children. And three, because he loves us and wants us to be part of his family. One caller felt that God may have been lonely. Daryl on Facebook said it's the same reason we have children, to share ourselves and to have a relationship with him. Elizabeth on Facebook also mentioned a fitting text, which is 1 John 3:1.
Well, that's a great verse that we have there. Behold, what manner of love is this? The Father loved us. And so this is a perfect verse for our question here today, for sure. Well, is there any other verse that we want to discuss with that question? That's a big question. And
yes.
I know the Lord answers big questions in the Word of God.
That's right. It's a really great question. I love this question. I'm thinking of, I really like all of the answers, and I would like to take us to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And I've always, you know, liked the fact that God kind of starts out in creation talking about the fact that there is us, the we, the divine we that's creating. It's not just one, obviously, right? There is more. And we know throughout the Bible, he's described as three. And so, to me, it all starts with the fact that God and the Trinity has this perfect, beautiful relationship. And we know that because Jesus is talking about how God loves him, right? So if God loves him, well, then there has to be this mutual, just incredible love between them. And so I believe that's where it started. I know somebody mentioned that, yes, it started all because of God's love for us. And so I think he wanted all of us to experience what they have, what the Trinity experiences all the time, this just incredible love relationship. And that's why I think it's all about relationship. The purpose has to do, most importantly, with a relationship. And it's this vertical relationship with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether I am spending time with God, learning from him, taking the time to know him. And then it's the horizontal relationship between us as people. And I really see it as, because it comes first, right? Because Jesus says, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and then love others. So to me, if we have that part broken, then the horizontal part will be broken too. And we can see it in our world, because lots of relationships are broken. And so I love this question and the reminder of the fact that it is about relationships. And so then I think of like, okay, well, how am I living this purpose out then? Because obviously that means it has to show in the relationships that I have in my own life. And it kind of checks me, you know, am I spending that time with God so that my relationships can be whole and just full of God's love, and people will see it.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Yes, yes. Anything to add, Dr. Olean?
Well, I agree with everything that Andrea said. I think also going back to Genesis 1 is really important, because everything almost that we can say about human beings and who we are, why we exist, goes back to creation. Mm. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And the fact that Genesis 1, God said, one God, three persons, as you mentioned, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Bible, large Bible picture, says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Those two Hebrew words there, image and likeness, indicate that we are like God in not only in physical resemblance, but also in character. Wow. Mm. That both of those components, there's a physical component of physical resemblance and character component, that like what you were talking about with love to God, love to other human beings, and that relationship. And then verse 28, it says that, even in verse 26, that they were to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So it sets human beings apart from animal world. We're not just, descended from the apes or, you know, some hominid of some kind, but a special creation. In fact, that's why in Genesis chapter 2, at the end of Genesis chapter 1, when he talks about, everything was good, right? All the way through, it was good, it was good. But then when it comes to verse 25, for example, at the end of creating the animals, it was good. But when he comes to finishing his creation of human beings, in verse 31, he says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. He wants us to have a relationship. Right. Jesus himself, the famous prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray to God, our Father. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is a deep relationship that God wants to have with us.
I see it as God being super excited here. That's why he says, very good.
Right? Yes, awesome. Yes, yes. Well, that is just a beautiful highlight from the Word of God, that we're created special and set apart and for relationship with each other, but most importantly, with him. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Well, let's dive into a question. And speaking of the book of Genesis, we actually have a question here via text. And regarding creation, it says, on day one, God said, let there be light. What was that light? So here we have someone that's, reading the book of Genesis, and obviously, this is creation. So what is this light? Where does it come from?
Well, I think we should read the whole context. It's always good to look at the larger context. So let's read Genesis chapter 1, verses 3-5. And that will help us understand maybe better what this light is. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Hmm. So creation begins with light. Now, I have to say there are two sort of most common views about how to interpret what this light was. It's a very good question that was asked. There are some who say, well, that's the sun, because obviously, you know, you have the day and you have the night, the light and the darkness, and it's one day. The evening and the morning were the first day. So the earth rotates on its axis, and the sun creates that day and night period of 24 hours, mm-hmm. approximately. So, but then, of course, you have in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it, continuing on.
Can I clear something up very quickly? Sure. Wasn't the sun created on a different day, though? So I'm not sure
exactly.
if that's the direction you're going.
That's exactly
okay.
where I'm going. The fourth day in verse 14, God says, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So then God, verse 16, made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So people would say, well, yeah, he didn't create these lights, the sun, the stars, et cetera, until the fourth day. So how could this be on the first day? Well, there are some other passages that we should mention. Psalm 104, verse 2, tells us about God.
That's Psalms 104?
Psalm 104, verse 2. And verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then it continues about talking about God. Verse 2, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. And you see, if we would read this whole psalm, we would see it's referring back to Genesis 1 and the creation. So here, God is the one who clothes himself with light, like a garment. So we could say that the light comes from, ultimately, he is the light. Mm-hmm. In fact, 1 John says, God is light. Hmm. And Revelation 21, so go back to the end of the Bible now. Revelation 21 and verse 23. Speaking of the new Jerusalem and the new earth that will be, that Revelation so beautifully describes in these chapters, 21 and 22, it says, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. No need. Doesn't mean it's not there.
Sure.
No need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And so, again, even with the recreation, the new earth, God will be the ultimate light.
That is a great approach, because you see that God is the light here. And, you know, it's not about the sun here, but God is the light. Wow.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Well, before we go to break, I just want to remind you that we are giving away free Bible study guides that cover the major themes of the Bible. We actually got a request this week for our Focus on Prophecy Bible study guides from a refugee camp on the Thai-Myanmar border. And it's a Christian school of about 1,000 kids. And they were watching Bible Help Desk and wanted information on how they could study through these Bible study guides with their staff and students. How about that?
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, that's, you know, the fact that they are out on a refugee camp wanting to learn more about the Bible inspires me to keep learning about the Bible too. So if you'd like to join us in studying the Bible with our free Bible guides, just go to hopebiblestudy.org and sign up. If you're in North America, you can also just give us a call and leave us your address, and we'll mail those out to you right away.
Our lines are still open, but we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit HopeBibleStudy.org or call 888-446-7233. 7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
God invites us to talk to Him daily. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and you can experience the power of God through prayer on Let's Pray. Watch us live Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and call us at 877-LET'S-PRAY outside the U.S., 859-777-PRAY. We're ready to pray for you. Remember, you don't have to pray alone.
Welcome back.
Well, it's time for us to jump right into our next question here. I believe it was brought to us via text, and it asks this. Actually, it's a voicemail, actually. We have a voicemail that we can listen to at this moment.
My question is, the Bible speaks of a special resurrection. This resurrection will be for the people that crucified Him, who will wake up to see Him coming in the skies, and they will die again. Is this a fact, or is this a myth?
All right. Well, thank you, caller, for calling in and asking that good question that we're going to be able to answer from the Bible here today. So, to our guests, our panelists here today, what can we learn from the Word of God regarding that question?
Yes, that is a great question. So I want to take us to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, and it's talking about the second coming, and Jesus is coming in the clouds. It says, behold, He's coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. Mm. And this is the mention that I believe the caller is speaking about. And this is where we've, you know, talked about this special resurrection. So is it a myth? Is it a fact? It's a very good possibility because of what this verse says. How exactly it will be? We don't know all the details, sure. Right? But we do know that this is saying that there will be those who pierced Jesus, so it must have been those who actually crucified Him on the cross, who will see Him at this moment. So when Jesus is coming back to get the people who have chosen Him, at that same moment, it seems like those will be resurrected who were instrumental in crucifying Him. Hmm. And obviously, these are obviously those who have rejected Him. Right? Mm-hmm. And so they will see Him coming back in the clouds. And that's what this verse is telling us.
Yes, helpful insight. Yes, anything else, Doc?
Well, in Matthew 26, verse 64, there's another passage, I think, that sheds light on this subject. Jesus was before the Sanhedrin being tried just before His crucifixion, and He was confronted by the high priest as to whether He, you know, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And verse 64, Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, He's speaking to Caiaphas, the high priest, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Mm-hmm. So Jesus Himself said, when I come again, you will be there. You will see me. Very different way than what you see me now. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think that's helpful to mention here is that the caller asked about this special resurrection. The reason it's called the special resurrection is because these people are not going, they're not alive now. They have to be specially resurrected. But the Bible also talks about those who died with faith in Jesus. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that when Jesus comes again, and this is verse 16, that there are others who are resurrected. In fact, the vast majority of those who are resurrected at this time are mentioned here, I think. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, verse 17, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So those who died with faith in Him, who died in the Lord, they'll be resurrected. Doesn't matter whether, you know, from the time of Adam all the way up to our day, they will be resurrected.
That is beautiful, and I really appreciate that question, and it really just brings home to me how the Bible is full of so much information the Lord wants us to know,
yes.
And if we just take the time to study and read and take it all in and do a careful reading, we'll have even more answers about what God wants for our lives.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Well, we have a live caller calling in with a question, calling from Georgia. His name is Alan. So Alan on the line, feel free to ask us your question.
Hello.
Hello, Alan. How are you? Go ahead and free and ask us your question.
Yeah, I was wanting to know, I've never done this before, but I was wanting to know what the scripture says about mental illness.
About mental illness.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So how does the Bible deal with mental illness? Is this ever addressed in the Bible?
The verse that comes immediately to mind, well, before I go there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I should mention that in a way, sin has damaged all of us. Mm-hmm. It's damaged us physically, mentally, and spiritually. None of us are the way that we were originally made in the image of God and intended to be as human beings. So we are all somewhat damaged by sin. But the beautiful message of the Bible is that God can restore us.
Amen.
And through Jesus, his life, death on the cross, resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be restored into his image day by day. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Mm. So he can help us to restore us. Now, Sometimes, as with physical illness, also with mental illness, we need not only the help of God and the Holy Spirit, but he's given us tools, medicine, that can help us as well. And just as medicine can heal the physical body, it can heal our mind and brain as well. So, so we should use all the tools that God has made available to us.
That's great.
Right. And I think a lot of times people are, you know, ashamed of mental illness because it is something that we don't really talk about. But it is just like any other thing that happens to us. If we have a broken leg, we get help too.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. And I think that we need to be more open. Which what I find interesting is that because I work with the youth and young adults a lot,
absolutely,
is that that generation is so much more open about the subject. And they will just say, you know, I'm struggling with anxiety, I'm struggling with depression, and just very straightforward. And I think that's how it needs to be, because we need to be able to encourage each other and just say, hey, we are all struggling with something, because like you said, sin affects every single one of us in some ways. But thankfully, we do have God who has that encouragement for us, and we have each other.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, Alan, thank you for the call. And as you mentioned, you know, mental health, something that God has addressed and God is there for us, and always reaching out to those professionals that can also help us as well.
Maybe just add that because, as we mentioned earlier, we were made as a whole person in the image of God, our mind is affected by exercise, diet, all of these things. The Bible gives us several natural remedies, including faith and trust in God, divine power, that can help with those struggling with this.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we did receive this question via text, and this is how it reads. Why would God raise the wicked to put them to death again in hellfire? Who benefits? And who learns what from this?
Mm-hmm.
Just have a couple of minutes to answer here, but a very great question. And I'm sure there's definitely something from the Word of God here in the Bible.
Well, I think we need to sort of look at the big picture. Going back again to Genesis, this time Genesis chapter 3, we mentioned where sin entered.
Sure.
And this is the beginning of sin. There is the serpent that Revelation 12, verse 7 identifies as the devil and Satan. He used the serpent in this case in Eden. And the serpent, it says, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Actually, that's not exactly what God said. He said, you can eat every tree of the garden except one. But this rephrasing of the question put doubt in the mind of Eve and that whether God was really being fair to them, whether he was going, you know, whether he, maybe he was holding something back. You know, if you eat of this, he then later says, you know, that as we read on, you shall not eat of it, verse 3, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, for you will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So it was, Satan was using the serpent to put doubt in people's mind about God, who he is, his character, that maybe he's not as good as the Bible says. Even though the Bible says God is love, 1 John 4:8, maybe he's not that way. Mm-hmm. And so this is a very important question. Everyone needs to know in the end that God is true, God is just.
Yeah. And I want to go to Revelation chapter 20,
okay,
which is where it's talking about after the 1,000 years when God comes again and brings all the people who are in heaven already. And now those who have been dead in their graves, who have not chosen Christ, are resurrected. And in starting with verse 7, it says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven to devour them. And this is specifically what this caller is speaking about, or the text is speaking about. And what I find interesting about this is that at this point, they are resurrected, right? And once again, they rebel. Yeah. So now, at this point, they are shown everything about God. They know that God is a good God because they see it. And the Bible says in other places, every knee will bow down and declare that God is just and God is holy, God is good, right? Every single person will know. And yet, Satan gets them to do this again, to rebel. And so it just shows the fact that this is an attitude that has never changed. It has always been there, and God knew that, okay, this is their choice. And it doesn't change no matter what information, what evidence they have. And once again, they just rebel. And who benefits from this? The whole universe. Because everybody sees that God is just.
This is a big question.
We actually out of time, so but we're going to have to pause right there. But thank you for that thorough response.
It's a deep question.
Yes, we appreciate that. And God is a God of justice, and I think it's important, and a God of love, that we need to keep that in mind for sure. Yes.
And that God tried everything.
Yes.
We had one final question come in, and the question says via text, when you surrender your will to God, is it okay to still ask for things in your life? We want to hear from you now. What's your take on this question? What insight can you bring from the Bible? Tell us via Facebook or Instagram or voicemail, and we'll ask the question next week to our experts.
Well, we want to thank our experts for being here this week, and thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.